Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly
Podcast.
Hi, I'm Murray Morgan, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast. In this episode, I get to talk to four high-caliber role models of cybersecurity at the Women in Cyber Mentoring event in Melbourne, organised by the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet in partnership with PwC and Telstra. You'll hear from Sandra Ragg, head of the Office of the Prime Minister's Cybersecurity Special Advisor leads Cyber Resilience Task Force, Erica Harding, head of Security Enablement at ANZ Bank, Michelle Price, Chief Operating Officer at AusCyber, and Megan Haz, partner, Cybersecurity and Forensic Services at PwC, which was where the event was held. We talk about the need to increase diversity, both with respect to gender and thinking, cybersecurity pathways that aren't necessarily starting from an IT background, as well as cybercrime and the need to educate Australians in a digitally ubiquitous world. We also talk about building the Australian cybersecurity industry and making it an international export powerhouse, as well as the upcoming mandatory data breach notification laws, which come into effect in February 2018. So, without further ado, here's my interview with Sandra Ragg, Erica Harding, Michelle Price, and Megan Haz. Hi, I'm Maureen Morgan, and I'm in Melbourne at the Women in Cyber Mentoring event, organised by the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet in partnership with PwC and Telstra. And I'm with four ladies from the space of cybersecurity. Before me, I have Sandra, Erica, Michelle, and Megan. Now, they each come from a different perspective on cybersecurity, so I'm going to get them to quickly introduce who they are.
Hi, I'm Sandra Ragg. I head the Office of the Prime Minister's Cybersecurity Special Advisor in the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet.
Hi, I'm Erica Harding. I head up the Security Enablement Team at ANZ.
Hi, I'm Michelle Price. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for AusCyber, the Australian Cybersecurity Growth Network.
And I'm Megan Haz. I'm a partner here at PwC, working in our cyber and forensics team.
Well, fantastic. Now, we have a large group of women on the floor above us, and you're demonstrating a very important responsibility that's creating these role models for them to go into. Sandra, this was based on a previous event that you did, a hackathon.
That's right. We run a 24-hour Capture the Flag competition for students from universities and the TAFE sector. And we realised that there were a very low number of female participants as part of that. And it's an activity that was designed by men and predominantly men in there. And we thought we really needed to take some intervention to be able to show women what a fantastic career that they can have in cybersecurity.
Good. And when you talk about the industry as a whole, is it roughly about 11% women represented in cybersecurity?
Yeah, that's right. It's only 11%. And what we're trying to do is really increase the diversity so that we increase the, I guess, the ideas and that are generated, the problem solving, and looking at the sorts of jobs that people can do in the future.
Right. Now, Megan, you'll be moderating a panel mm-hmm. this afternoon. And one of the reasons for that is to highlight some of the role models that the women can look up to in that space.
Yeah, that's right. It's very clearly not one size fits all. And one of the opportunities I think we have as a group of female professionals in this space is to share our stories and our backgrounds with the students and those who might be considering a career in cyber. I think one thing that we see is that none of us, or very, very few of us, started in the cyber industry or envisaged that as being our career path. But we've all come, irrespective of our starting points, we all find ourselves here. And it's one of the key things I think we can give back to the younger students is that notion that, you know, there are lots of different pathways.
Yeah, right. Now, Michelle, you were saying off air a little bit about the backgrounds of perhaps even yourself and also that of other cybersecurity experts, not necessarily women, but people aren't necessarily IT whiz. They're not from an IT background, but things like psychology and other areas. So when you're encouraging people to get into cybersecurity, Michelle, do you highlight this?
I absolutely do. And I did speak to the group this morning about this, that we all have different pathways that have brought us to where we are today and where we might go in the future. And it's showing people broadly, but in particular women, that actually your skill set can be brought to bear in cyberspace, because it's not just the ones and zeros, as important as they are. The ones and zeros enliven our world and deliver so many opportunities and benefits to society because of the fact that humans engage with them. Mm. And because humans engage with the ones and zeros, what we now refer to as technology, that technology can offer even more if it's secure in a way that brings different perspectives around what security means to society. So I bring a lot of authentic personal stories to the speeches that I give around the world, actually, now, as fortunate as I am to do that, to help inspire and enliven the conversation that you don't have to have a technical background to be able to have a career in cybersecurity, but you can have a technical background to have a career in cybersecurity. And it's all about the attitude and the passion that you bring to the job.
Oh, that's right. Good. So you, and one of your roles is also to develop the vertical of cybersecurity industry here in Australia.
That's right. AusCyber's number one job is to grow the number of cybersecurity companies in Australia. So that's not just about increasing the number of startups. That's a really important part of the job. But it's also encouraging the growth of existing cybersecurity companies to scale, to show that Australia really does know what it's doing when it comes to developing world-class and world-leading cybersecurity solutions. So part of my job is looking after the industry side of things. It is also about enlivening the whole of the economy to the fact that we do have homegrown talent here. And a lot of that talent focuses on human talent. It is what we are known the world over. We've just not celebrated it enough at home.
Mm, right. Well, one company that is putting a lot of effort and influence within the cybersecurity space is ANZ. So I'm jumping to you, Erica,
sure.
Of course. Now, humanising cybersecurity, that's what you've got three parts that ANZ and your role specifically is doing. Can you tell us what those three parts are?
Yeah, look, and it's something that I'm really passionate about, and extending from what Michelle was talking about, people are absolutely the key to a cyber smart nation. And so for me, our team is very much focused on how do we humanise cybersecurity? How do we make it something that people are interested in and understand that it's relevant to them personally and professionally? How do we simplify the message? So how do we take away some of that technical jargon, etc., to make it something that people understand what my specific role is in being more cyber safe? And then thirdly, how do we build the capability both within our immediate team and make sure that they have the skills that they need and capability that they need, but also across the marketplace, so that in 2020 we don't have the problems that we're currently facing into from a skills shortage perspective and from a diversity perspective as well?
Well, that's a good segue. So diversity, and I'm coming back here to Sandra, when I looked in the room with all the women in the room just earlier today, it wasn't just women that I noticed, it was also backgrounds, nationalities or ethnic backgrounds. I saw Muslim women in there, I saw people from Asia. So diversity in a ethnic background, how important is that also for cybersecurity?
Oh, I think it's absolutely critical. Cybersecurity has really become an issue for businesses and for our communities, for families and individuals. So we actually need to have the people who are doing this work, operating in this profession, reflect the demographics of our society today. And then I guess what we're doing is bringing our whole selves to the problem solving, and particularly to tackle the problems of the rampant cybercrime that we're seeing targeting against our businesses and individuals. And it's really that diversity of thinking and of ideas to tackle those sorts of problems for the future.
Hmm. So when you talk about rampant cybersecurity crime, can you elaborate on that?
Well, I guess one of the things is that we're seeing cybercrime targeted against all sectors of our economy. And so one of the things that we think is really important at this point in time is to see how we can start to think across the economy, across governments, businesses, not-for-profits, academia, how do we think about what we do as a whole-of-economy ecosystem? And there's a lot of investment going into cybersecurity, be it from governments and businesses, and how do we connect this all up so that we're working together, because we're all connected after all.
Yeah.
And I think around the issue of cybercrime in the Australian economy, we're in a situation where we know, based on research that's been done several times over from authoritative spaces overseas, that Australia is one of the highest targets of cybercrime in the world. And we can question why that is. At the very heart of it, Australians are early adopters of technology,
right.
Which means that as a society, we actually trust machines more than most others. We don't question what's behind the technology, and we don't necessarily question the behaviour of that technology. We don't necessarily look out for whether or not there's anomalous behaviour in that technology. So we're not as cyber resilient as we need to be as a society in Australia. It doesn't match the fact that we're taking an early adoption approach to technology and making sure that we're also cyber resilient with that. We combine those two things and we're an absolute powerhouse economically within the world.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think for all Australians, we have this opportunity to benefit from a data and a knowledge-driven future, and it's absolutely the trust in that technology that'll allow our communities and businesses to thrive.
I think corporates and government and even not-for-profits all have a role to play in helping Australians understand what that is as well. And until we have some cohesive, consistent messaging across the population, that's not going to happen. So we're actually working with a number of other organisations across Australia as the Security Influence and Trust Group to help bring some of that consistency and cohesiveness. If we all amplify the same message, it becomes much easier for Australians to understand this is the most important thing I can do to right. make myself safe in my online activities.
What are some of the things right now that people can be doing differently?
So one of the messages that we deliver is really simple, and it's the lowest common denominator is human error,
yeah.
right? And it's about individuals thinking through their own personal safety and that then multiplying out through organisations. And it's really interesting, irrespective of how sophisticated technology gets, there are some real basics, and we hear this a lot.
Yep.
And it is about passwords or passphrases mm-hmm. In today. It is about backing up. It is about being conscious of who I am sharing my information with
yep.
and being clear about that. And just the daily hygiene, and what we've seen recently on a global level, and some of the attacks that have received large publicity. Again, it came back to maintenance of operating systems,
yep.
of machines, of backups, having that regular sort of cycle and hygiene.
Yeah.
If I could just add, I think it's really important that we help Australians realise it's not something to feel silly about
yep.
either. So I think there's a fear that if I ask any questions about cybersecurity, I'm shining a torch on my own technical incompetence or whatever it might
yes,
be.
Yes.
So we need to help people understand that it's okay to ask. And if you receive an email you're not quite sure about, ask somebody. Ask the
yep.
person sitting next to you. Any sense check in cyberspace more generally is a good check.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. In the world that we live in today, where, say, 10 years ago, we were talking about how IT and OT were very separated. Mm. Never the twain shall meet. They have met. It's called IoT now. And, of course, we've got millennials today. They just expect everything to be interconnected, and you see them get frustrated when it doesn't work. So how do we make sure that generation understands the importance of cybersecurity, but also how ubiquitous cybersecurity is into our lives? It's not just when you go to a computer at a library and leave your password without logging out.
Yeah. Look, I think some of that comes back to just asking and having the conversation and making it part of everyday activity. So if you're starting up a new business, what type of business is it? What digital interactions do you have? What do you need to protect that small business? If you're a parent online, who can you ask about the latest tools and software that can help you protect your children online? Do you know what your children are doing online?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the workplace, it's about what simple things can you do from passwords right through to dodgy emails to
yeah.
make sure that you're helping to protect your organisation as well.
Right.
We're also thinking very much about how we shift that conversation from just security and putting in place those technical protections to a conversation about resilience and
yep.
and how you're more prepared, how you might communicate, how you bounce back. So it's not just thinking the ones and zeros again. It's about overall how you operate your business or how you operate in your community association or the protection of, you know, your family's personal photographs and things like that, so that you're better placed to respond should something happen.
And I think there's no interest like self-interest. So some of the events of this year have really shown us what those personal implications are, from firms that have had no access to emails or files for weeks on end, right, to C-suite people who no longer have jobs in those organisations. We really need to start sharing that self-interest to help people understand why this is so relevant.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it's moved up the value chain.
Yep.
So we often saw security being an add-on at the end of a product development life cycle. Now it's very much up in the design. So we are designing the security, and more we're seeing biometrics and different technologies helping with that. But it becomes an enabler and a strategic differentiation between perhaps our organisation and the next one, to be able to turn it from that fear factor into, and this is why you should use my product or my service because I have embedded the security as part of the design.
Trust.
On that note, Michelle, in terms of the, you talked earlier about the vertical and essentially creating a new industry here in Australia. We've seen, for example, the Mirai bot, and which took down Dyn, which was in the US, which crashed Apple computers and I think Amazon, and cost a lot of money to big business. Mm. And it was essentially came back down to, you know, $50 routers that are in the households of mum and pops, mum and pop type families. These things are made in China, they're made cheaply, and they don't give a stuff about cybersecurity in Australia. So what can we do as an industry or cybersecurity industry in Australia to actually maybe take ownership of production, manufacturing? Can we bring back manufacturing?
We do actually get asked this a lot as part of our regulatory reform role within the Growth Network. And so we actually see with cybersecurity, we are in a space where even though IT devices and network infrastructure have been around for decades now, we're obviously now seeing the differences that they're being connected to each other with IoT, that, you know, the question is, should we regulate? Do we need to have more regulation in this space? My personal view is no. We've got enough regulation that we need to be applying in a cyberspace context.
Yep.
And as a country that doesn't manufacture most of the devices and the componentry within those devices, what we can do is work with like-minded nations, like-minded companies, like-minded not-for-profits, to actually put pressure on the manufacturers to demand more, to actually increase the quality of the security that they put in, or actually even just have security built in the first instance. To go to Megan's point, there's a huge opportunity with the value add that Australia has with our knowledge and our policy base to be able to command more around having security baked in at the design phase. And we're seeing that with the marriage of cybersecurity and advanced manufacturing in Australia, where we're seeing the great opportunity where we can do that. It doesn't stop manufacturers from getting the benefits, I guess, of going to other countries to have cheaper manufacturing.
Yeah.
If you've got that baked in at the design phase, there's a great opportunity there. So if we were to regulate that, in my view, we would be stifling the innovation that happens that can spur on the cultural change we need around that demanding of more. And there's great work that governments can do in this space to encourage consumers to demand more as well. We get those two things happening together, another great force for change.
Okay, good. And on the mandatory reporting, which leads us to that February 2018.
February 22.
That's it. Erica, you're from ANZ. Obviously, that's going to be an exciting time for you.
Absolutely.
Or terrifying.
Exciting. We'll go with exciting.
That is legislation that's put in place, and we'll see what happens, whether people do voluntarily come up, or we hear it all in retrospect. 3 years ago, it happened, and now we're learning about it today. Where do you see, perhaps I'll go to Erica because it's in your organisation, is that, do you have an action plan ready for that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of it comes back to Sandra's point around resilience. So we need to have those action plans in place. We need to know where our data is, how we're protecting it, and if it goes wrong, how do we notify the people who deserve and need to know about that?
Right.
And so some of that is from a communications perspective, some of it's from a business response and ownership perspective, but it's bringing those parties together and making sure that we can do that in a timely, consistent and accurate way.
Mm, very good. And Sandra, are you involved at all in the policing? in your role?
Not in the policing in any way, but I guess what we're looking at is how do we encourage best practice behaviours, and what are the sorts of things that we can do from our office to, again, work across that ecosystem to ensure people are both aware. But we look at it as an opportunity as well. So it's going to create, I think, a greater level of awareness of some of the challenges.
Sure.
And I guess it's not about all cyber breaches. It's those associated with the personal data, but I think it has. We've got an opportunity here as a community, and again, it goes back to that trust and transparency, and then how you actually deal and work with the people whose data that you're holding. And again, I think just going back to the Women in Cyber Initiative, I think that's a really important thing. Women care about making a difference. They're caring about their communities and their families. Mm. It touches on that. And that's why we want more people in and increase that diversity, increase the women that we have in this field.
Excellent. So as a final sort of wrap up, each of you, if you'd like to give us just a one line that we can take away from this podcast. Michelle.
I will disrupt from the start and give you two, because there's just so it's so hard to choose just one. But firstly, for women in cyber, the world is your oyster. It really is, and not for the reasons that you might think. The timing has never been better to lean in and really grasp the opportunities, whether you're an extrovert like me or you're an introvert, you're technical or you're non-technical, all of those kinds of things, the timing is now. And the second point I'd say is that please, 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 for goodness sake, remember that humans are there at the very heart of technology, and this is why we need to care so much about what's going on with our engagement in technology and ensure that it's secure and resilient.
Thank you. Erica?
I'd echo much of that. This is a really complex space. We need to come together, industry, government, not-for-profits, and amplify consistent messages so that we really cut through all the noise. And I would also echo that it's a perfect time for women in cybersecurity. Anybody in cybersecurity, legal, psych, marketing, HR, technical backgrounds, there's a place for everybody.
Good. Thank you. Sandra?
I would say that the pace of change in cybersecurity is only accelerating, and now is the time for us as a nation to be bold and to be ambitious about what we can do. Huge opportunity for people in this profession, and I think it's just grab it and run with it.
Great. And Megan?
Absolutely. I think for me the phrase is, you know, have a go. There is nothing to lose at the moment. I think what we've seen just from the ladies sitting around the table, each of us has had different journeys and will continue to have different journeys, and there is a place for everybody, so have a go.
Fantastic. Well, ladies, thank you very much for your time today in Melbourne and coming all the way here. We look forward to seeing those role models and moving that number 11% right up to maybe one day 50-50.
Love it.
Thank you.